Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, Ray Dininger with this as well. Hey, there's an event coming up here on September 25th. I want to tell you about, you can get involved in. It's the Fight On McKenna Foundation, the third annual Bite for the Fight, a wonderful event for a great cause at the Kimberton Fairgrounds in Phoenixville with incredible food and a charitable initiative. A family who lost their daughter a couple of years ago, McKenna, and the family has done such an incredible job to put together. This will be the second time, of course, last year, no event because of the pandemic and that stage of it. But guests at the event will be able to sample food and you know, donate to the charity, which raises money for the cause. Over 30 of the top local restaurants in the Delaware Valley will be there giving you food, right? You're able to taste the food and the craft beers and fine wines and cocktails. I'll be there looking forward to meeting a lot of people. It's all for a great cause. And I would strongly encourage you to consider being there. Silent auction, music, fun, the whole deal, all to benefit this outstanding foundation. For more information, to purchase tickets, to see how you can donate to the Fight On McKenna Foundation, please consider visiting biteforthefight.com and also the website fightonmckenna.org. So two websites to check out, biteforthefight.com and fightonmckenna.org. Wonderful people doing a lot of great work in the community. I would really encourage you to check out the website, consider getting there, that event coming up in 2 weekends, and I'll be there and look forward to meeting people at the event. 215-592-9494. Ray, you had said to us before the Eagles season, you thought this could be a top 10 defense in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And on the first two drives on Sunday, it looked shaky because the run defense was poor.
Yes.
It also may have been somewhat by design. Shil Kapadia pointed out earlier today to us that the Eagles were the only team in pro football to not give up a play that was 20 yards or more.
Right.
So there is certainly some, hey, let's defend the back end. And if you get some yards, hey, at the end of the day, what matters is points. What did you make of that approach in the first quarter and just the overall performance of the Eagles day and what it means for the games up ahead?
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be characteristic of them all season, but I really thought that was huge, the way the game started. I mean, Atlanta, both their first two possessions, the first one, they drive it down to the 4 and have to settle for a field goal. And then they get the ball again, and they drive it down to the 2 and have to settle for a field goal. So at the end of the first quarter, they've completely dominated the game, and they're losing. You know, and that's pretty demoralizing. You know, and I really think that when in the second quarter, when the Eagles had that drive right before halftime and scored 2 seconds to go, I just think it broke Atlanta's back. And what I thought was interesting about the two red zone stops was that if Arthur Smith has one trump card, and one thing that was sort of the thing that got him hired basically as a head coach in Atlanta was his success in the red zone. The last 2 years calling plays for Ryan Tannehill, they were the most productive red zone offense in the NFL. I mean, his play calling down there was spot on. I mean, they were scoring touchdowns 76% of the time down there, best in football for over a 2 year period. And so that was kind of his, signature, was his ability to score down there and to stop them twice, once at the 4, once at the 2. I think it was a huge momentum shifter for the Eagles. And, you know, I think that their defense is really good. I think that it'll obviously be keyed by the front 4. And I think they've got really good players, and I think they've got depth. And that's where it's going to come from. You know, I think the two corners are good. The linebackers are certainly better than they were last year.
Not saying much.
What's that? Not saying much, but they're better than they were last year. Singleton has obviously had a year under his belt, and Wilson is better than anybody you had in the middle. But the front four is really good, and you saw it on Sunday. I mean, they really took the game over in the second half, and I think the pairing of Cox and Hargrove, which we've talked about this summer, seeing the way he's come on, is an indication that if these guys can stay healthy, they're going to be. I think the idea of being a top 10 defense is not a stretch.
I am really interested in the way they play the 49ers, Ray. This idea that Shiel introduced to us today. Now, I knew that the Eagles in the preseason had run more too deep than any team in the NFL. That was a stat that I'd seen.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that to continue in the regular season, and I still have to see the All-22 because that's still not out there.
And they were playing without McLeod, so maybe being more conservative with a backup, and then a backup.
That's possible.
I mean, that happens.
This idea that you can play in today's game and run too deep predominantly, or that shell predominantly. Now, you might not run too deep when it's all said and done. You might, move guys right before the snap, but and still be able to stop the run and be a complete defense in the NFL. That is really interesting to me because I remember once upon a time back in a previous job, I was talking to Gary Patterson, the head coach of TCU, and he said one of the things he prided himself most on, and he's considered a defensive mastermind, is that they could run too deep with their 4-2-5 defense, which is, like a very pass friend, like it's supposed to defend the pass.
Sure.
The 4-2-5 with two deep behind it, they were still able to stop the run out of that. And I didn't ask him specifically how, but that was something that he really hung his hat on. It's rare to be able to do that. I can't imagine that we could go out there and run too deep against a 49ers team that wants to pound the football and on top of that has one of the two best tight ends in the NFL who, as you know, if you run too deep, it's susceptible down the seam.
Absolutely.
You got a tight end going to run scot-free down the seam and two safeties deep so they're not in the box to stop the run. You can't possibly go that route this week, can you?
I don't know. I have some of the same questions that you have about the feasibility of that. I think it's going to be a whole different kind of test.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole different kind of test. First of all, the offensive line is much better. The 49ers offensive line is much better. And Kyle Shanahan, to me, is a really good play caller. I mean, his offense, when I watch his offense now, it's so much like his father's. I mean, it's so much like what Mike used to do. With a lot of that stretch stuff, a lot of the zone blocks, a lot of the bootleg off of the stretch. I mean, it's really very, very well designed, and it can take a fairly average kind of quarterback and make him look really good because he gets receivers open and it gives him a lot of easy throws and it keeps the linebackers close to the line of scrimmage, and it's really good. And you saw on Sunday, not that the Detroit Lions are any powerhouse, but I mean you saw the way they just took that defense apart, and they're got to play with a rookie sixth round draft pick as the running back and so forth. So there's that. But you saw Samuel. And Kittle is a really good player. I mean, a really, really good player. But the guy that can really kill you is Samuel. He's really good. And if you look at the yards he gets after the catch, I mean, you get him the ball, and then he becomes like a running back. And so that's, that dual threat there with those guys. And I don't know what's going on with Aiyuk now. I think that it seems to me like he's in the doghouse. I don't know what he did to get on Shanahan's bad side, but he's like a non-factor right now. But he's a talent. I mean, he's really a talent. But he's not playing much from scrimmage. But the combination of Samuel and Kittle, that's going to be a handful. There's going to be no question about that.
Should be a lot of fun on Sunday. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, Ray Dittinger to the phones. Let's talk to Shamrock right now in Philly. What's up, Shamrock?
Hey, what's going on, guys? John, Joe, Ray.
Hi, Sam.
How are you?
And I'm fired up right now. I can't believe you're comparing Hurts to Cobb. That's just unbelievable.
Well, do you understand the intent behind the comparison?
Not really.
Let me explain it to you. The intent behind the comparison is to say that the city was fairly impressed with Kevin Cobb out of the gate. He was the first player in NFL history to have 300 yards passing in his first two games. The city was over the moon excited about Bobby Hoyne in 1997. This is not an opinion. It's a fact. And so, and then, of course, there's Carson, and, of course, there's Nick Foles. And so the reason I brought those four names up today was to say, you know, there are examples of the city either totally buying in or mostly buying in on a player with some pretty early returns. And I've wondered if there is hesitancy for some people, including myself, to buy in on Hurts because we've been burned before by players at that position for the Eagles. That's why
what Hurts has done, though. What Hurts has done, only a couple other Eagles quarterbacks have done so far. And he's done it in five games.
Which is
250
what? Which
yards
is what?
Passing, yep. 3 yards touchdown, yep. Three touchdowns, and over 50 yards rushing. McNabb did it twice. Zick did it twice. Cunningham did it three times, and that's across their entire career.
Yep.
And he's done it in five games. Cam did it four times.
Well,
Russell Wilson
for
did
what,
it four
for what
times.
It's worth,
Steve
this...
Young did it six times. That's, I mean,
yeah, no,
can't take that away
from it's
him.
Impressive, but I will say this. The stat thing in football, you got to remember, I mean, Randall and even McNabb, which was only 20 years ago when he got going, 22 years ago, so much has changed with stats. I mean, you see guys like Matthew Stafford now. He's got more yards passing than Joe Montana. Doesn't mean he's better than Joe Montana. It just means it's easier to rack up stats. So it's impressive what you're pointing out, but also I take stats with a grain of salt because the rules are so much predicated, and I actually believe also the offensive innovation, so much predicated to help offenses in the league.
Well, Lamar Jackson hasn't done it twice, so.
I don't think Lamar Jackson's as good a passer as Jalen Hurts. Shamrock, give me who's sarcastic.
Don Rickles.
Great.
Massive.
Great answer.
Massive answer.
It's a huge answer right there. Ray, when you think sarcasm.
Yes.
You know, Norm MacDonald passing away yesterday. That was sad to see.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a most sarcastic person of all time? Real life or fiction?
I haven't heard all of the guesses, but I'm guessing somebody's probably already said this guy. I'm going to go back to SNL, too. I'm going to say Dennis Miller.
You know, that was sad.
It was sad.
And
great
it might be the winning answer.
I think it's those two, Rickles and Miller, for me right now, at least.
Because Dennis Miller was the king of sarcasm. I mean, that's what his whole shtick was built
upon. Absolutely. Yeah. I will say there is a fictional character that has been referenced many times in the history of our show, but not said today, that I do think would be in the top tier for sarcasm if someone comes up with an incredibly intelligent fictional character who used his intelligence to his advantage in creating sarcasm in a TV show. I will leave it at that and see if someone comes up with it. Let's go to Frank. Frank, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks
right.
for calling, Frank.
It's indeed a pleasure. I never miss you on the weekends, and I love your book.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
I have to ask you one question, if you don't mind. About your young... I've only known one other person that ever used it like you do. And utilize it through being a police officer, a lawyer, and a professor.
And Frank, your phone cut out when you said the word. You said Ray's utilized what? What was the word you said?
He utilized his tablets, his legal tablets.
Oh, the yellow, the famous yellow legal tablet.
Absolutely, and he happened to be the nephew of Hal Freeman, Ken Freeman.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know. He was a Temple boy. And,
for folks who don't remember, Hal Freeman was the first president of the Spectrum when the Spectrum was built and opened.
Right, and he worked there part-time while he was going to school. But anyway, just to make a long story short, I mean, no matter what it was, he'd come out of a meeting with four of them filled up, and somebody had to look at a scratch and try to decipher it. So, but I wanted to make that point. And I never knew anybody that did it but him and then you, of course. my Eagles point, I'm giving it at least – 6 games, at least, before we know what kind of team we have, what kind of coach we have, and what kind of quarterback we have. And I think that'll give us an indication of what we can expect. But I do think they're on the right track. And then next year, of course, they got the money and they got the picks. And hopefully utilize that correctly, unlike the Phillies, who unfortunately have to start from scratch. And if they don't realize that, they're in bigger trouble than we.
Well, the good news on the Phillies is they changed the decision makers in the front office, not just the general manager, but top lieutenants that report to him. So at least they recognized that issue. The problem, of course, is going down that path, even fixing it, oftentimes takes 3 to 6 years to manifest.
Easy.
Yeah. So they're in a terrible spot for next season. I mean, they're not. I don't think they're going to be bad. But nothing I've seen has convinced me that they're going to be, you know, good, and certainly not great. I don't think they would trade him. I mean, I think that.
Listen, no, I'm saying, but he He might ask out. I mean, I'm sure
he could.
He'd want to wait 3 to 6 years for anything to happen.
He could. I won't anticipate that yet, but it's, you know, I mean, I don't really know what's in his mind. Anything's possible. I'm sure he's frustrated with the lack of progress around him, and he's a right to be frustrated. Frank, give me who's sarcastic.
Well, I have two people. I'm going to take a stab at what you're looking at with the fictional guy, and I'm going to say Dr. House.
You know, House has not been said in our show
here. It's a great answer.
And I know
I love that answer.
Yeah. You guys told me before the show House would be a good answer.
Yeah.
Not the one I was looking for, though, but I know you guys think it's a good answer. All right, let me tell you something not good. I think it's bad. I want to do a quick revisit. I want to, and Ray, I know where you're coming down, but I want to give you the platform to say it. James, I'm not sure where you are. John, I know where you've been for a while. Quick revisit now that the Phillies came up. I hope that people that have previously pushed back on me when I say it's a joke that there's a second wild card in baseball will now acknowledge, and I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back, just that I was right, because it is bad for me. It is ridiculous. The Phillies are 72-72, and they are 3 games behind a second wild card. And I believed it when it started. I believed it at the start of this year, and I believe it's in my core right now. The second wild card should not exist. It is a farce. For the Phillies to actually be, quote, in this is a farce. Now, John, you're who I'm really looking at.
The fact that there are more teams that are still in it is not a bad thing.
Well,
yeah, they're not good teams.
I know the theory is.
I believe they'll be eliminated immediately if they end up making it. So there's no harm in allowing more teams into the postseason.
All right, I disagree, because I think it allows bad teams that make it,
yeah,
or
well,
mediocre
if it's us,
teams.
I'll be great with it.
I understand it could benefit the Phillies. I think it is weak. But you're going to stand by, like, in the second wild card?
Yeah.
James, where are you?
Oh, yeah, I definitely like it. I mean, this season's over without the second wild card. Like, the Dodgers are 17 games up on the Cardinals. Like, it's the playoffs are set for, like, months and without then, the second wild card. It's like, what's the point?
And then, Ray, that's how it goes, because you and I, Ray, we are the defenders of quality being rewarded and average tossed aside. Ray, talk to these fools.
Now, Joe, they seem pretty dug in on their position, and they're entitled to it. But you and I are on the same position here. I think that it's just, I grew up in baseball when there was a National League and there was an American League, and at the end of the year, the two champions met in the World Series, yeah. And you had teams that really earned their way there. I mean, to me, this is just one more symptom of a watered down major league.
Ray, how about this fact? I'm going to drop a fact on everyone people might not know. If the Phillies win this wild card, and they probably won't, but if they do, and obviously they'd have to get a little above 500 because they'd have to surge here, so they'd be a few games above 500, they would face the Dodgers in a one-game playoff. The Dodgers right now are 20 games better than the Phillies. 20! Dodgers have 92 wins, and Phillies have 72.
Mm-hmm.
But in one game, Phillies could win that.
Sure.
That's a disgrace.
It's rare that it's this big a disparity.
It is.
Though.
It is. But I just don't think that should be even possible. I just don't think it should be possible.
No, I agree with you. I agree. And they, you know, listen, they run Wheeler out there. You could win that game. He could win that game for you.
He could win that game. Yeah. Ray, week one of the NFL. Let's just do a quick division flyby. Dallas, impressive. Washington, the Giants, you know, really have issues. Too early to say a two-team race, but do you feel somewhat confident that the Eagles will be in the top two of this division, or do you think Washington still looms as a top two threat?
I think their defense makes them that. Yeah, I think their defense will show up pretty much every week, which in this division I think will be good enough. The Cowboys defense to me still isn't very good, even though Parsons played really well.
Yep.
I just thought it was it's clear that there was so much concern. Anybody that was watching the Hard Knock series this year, there was so much concern and mystery surrounding Dak Prescott's shoulder. He didn't seem to have a problem. He didn't seem to have a problem that night. I thought it was real interesting. I don't know if you saw the soundbite when he shook hands with Tom Brady at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know, he looked Brady in the eye and he said, "We'll see you again." And
Brady was very dismissive of
no. Tom's dismissive of the world in general.
Yeah.
And you know, and if you're Tom Brady and you've got 28 Super Bowl rings and you're married to Gisele Bündchen and you've got houses on every continent, I guess you can be that way.
Yeah.
But there was there was something in press, there was something in Dak's eyes and in the tone of his voice that I thought was very telling. That he's, you know, what happened to him last year, not that he wasn't on a mission before, but he is now. And it's clear that that team totally buys into him. And now, if he gets hurt again this year, I think it's all out the window. But as long as he's playing, you can't discount the Cowboys.
I admire that guy. He's a good quarterback. His defense, though, stinks. So we'll see.
Oh, it does.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, he's got a big challenge to bring them all along because that's a rough day. Ray, I was so happy to hear Tommy and me is back. Your story, you know, really this primarily the story of Tommy McDonald, but as it relates to your life, both as a child and as an adult, it's an incredible story. And I'm just so happy to hear, you know, post that stage of the pandemic, whatever stage we're in now,
yeah,
which is an improved stage, obviously, thrilled to hear Tommy and me is back.
I am, too. And I feel very honored that the Delaware Theater Company, which is a beautiful, beautiful theater down in Wilmington, they're reopening this fall. They're reopening next month. And they reached out and said that they want to reopen with Tommy and me. Which, you know, I was very gratified by that, as was Joe Canuso, the director, and all the actors, of course, that were coming back, and but we're coming back to a theater that really wants us to be there and sort of reopen their stage. And it's really exciting. And we do reopen next month. First performance is October the 6th. We run through October the 17th. The Delaware Theater Company is a great theater right there, just a few steps away from the Wilmington train station, and it's great. And tickets have just now gone on sale. So if anybody wants to order up tickets for Tommy and me, if you haven't seen it before and want to see it, or if you have seen it before but you want to see it again, you can contact the Delaware Theater Company, either call the box office and order your tickets, or you can go to the Delaware Theater Company website and order them right online. But hope to see you at the theater, and we're really, really, really looking forward to it. We did it four straight years from 2016 through 19, and I missed it last year when theaters went dark. But yeah, we're back now, and if folks want to come out and see it, and I hope they do, they can get their tickets at the Delaware Theater Company.
Well, Ray, congratulations. I'm happy for you, and I'm happy for everyone who's going to get a chance to see it, because it is really awesome. Ray, we look forward to seeing you next week and listening to you this weekend. Thanks so much.
I look forward to it. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Ray. The Diddy up ahead. Time's yours. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
If you're thinking about snacking on anything other than a tasty cake, you're making a huge miscake. A melted milkshake, miscake, crumbly, sticky s'mores, bigger miscake, or the worst miscake of all, you resort to baking? If it's not tasty cake, it's a miscake. Because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or a rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake, except no substitutes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.